This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades, and with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. Second podcast of the week, making up for a little bit of lost time here because we know a lot more now. We've learned a lot about these teams, and today we want to first off hand out a Smooth Operator of the Week, and it's got to go to Zach Miller from Fork Union, Boys Lacrosse. We're going to be diving into Boys Lacrosse in this podcast, and Zach is a great place to start. 6 goals against Covenant last week. He's headed to Limestone College, just signed a letter of intent to head there. Really big step for Fork Union's lacrosse program to put together a kid of that caliber, a kid who can play college lacrosse. They've really been building that program really nicely, and we're going to dig into that a little bit later. But 6 goals for Miller against Covenant, that's a really big performance. That's a big win for them to beat a Covenant program that has been a state power for a number of years. So a huge win for them. Big performance by Zach Miller. He's a really aggressive kid, does a really nice job dodging. He's just a player. So a really strong performance from him, and kudos to the group out of Fork Union that's really starting to put it together.
Yeah, so, I mean, lacrosse-wise, few people get to as many games as you do in a season. You see so many of them. I guess starting out in the public area, a team that's always in there in the sort of state contender mix, Western Albemarle, they just had a big week. Take us through what you see from the Warriors right now.
Yeah, a really big win for Western over Albemarle. That's been a game that sometimes has been a little bit of a struggling point for them over the years in the Alex Witten era. And still, it's always going to be nip and tuck between those two, but it's pretty clear that Western, I think, has separated itself from the rest of the district. They're just really good. John Carr Hayden has, been an impact player since he was a young guy, and he's getting the job done. Jack Reichert's come on really strong. I mean, they got some guys that are potentially really good collegiate level players that are just kind of getting going. Kobe Bowen and Sam Leisman on defense give them a really strong core to build around. And then offensively with Hayden and Reichert and then Alex Williamson, who had 2 goals against Albemarle, Western's really kind of got some things going.
And that's a very different team from the ones the last couple of years that have made, I mean, that 2015 team that made it to the state final. I mean, we've seen a lot of turnover at Western, and it seems like you're just getting a lot of new names into the mix and young talent.
Yeah, Hayden's one of the only ones that's really stuck around. He's been there. I mean, you went through the Luke Riley era where Luke was a pretty darn good player. And then, now they've kind of turned it over. Hayden is one of the big leaders. But Reichert, I think, is just really tough. They've got a great athlete in Jack Ware. We know him from lacrosse. He's just a heck of a player, heck of an athlete, and he's been really good for him. But I love what they're doing defensively. I mean, they're just really efficient. They move the ball back out on transition. It's more like a group of long stick middies who are back there than it is, true close defenders that they've had in the past. These guys are versatile. They've got great sticks. They can kind of really move it. And then at keeper, Will Stauffer appears to be the real deal goalie. I think he's a sophomore, and he's playing out of his mind lately. He's just been really, really good.
Yeah, and we've been fortunate this area's got so many good goaltenders at so many different schools. But when you have a really good goaltender, it changes the game.
Yeah, and I think if you flip over to Albemarle, I think Albemarle really does have that kid too. And the Willis kid, he seems to be good. But the rest of the Albemarle roster, and Willis included in this, but he's just it seems to be kind of locked in. They're just young, man. Just really, really young, and they make young team's mistakes.
Yeah, but they got a guy in Dave King who's done this so well since he's taken over at Albemarle. Their only state title is under his watch, and they've been a force really since he's taken over.
Yeah, they've done really well. And, they've got, Matt Christ. They've had these guys who could really play. Those guys are making a huge impact, by the way, on the next level. Matt Crist is, I think, in, you know, he's in range of becoming the all-time leading scorer if he hasn't already for Christopher Newport. And then you flip over Hunter Brown's doing a similar damage down there at Hampton Sydney. So those guys, you know, those guys are gone, and they've been, you know, in college for a while. And it just seems like every year Almar is young again. And I think that they're building towards something really big in the next couple of years. They've got a lot of young talent that's still yet to come in the program. But they're getting good, you know, really good performance. Forrest Warner, Connor Warner, those guys are playing really well. They picked up a solid win against Monticello. They're clearly still the number two team, I think, in the district. But they can get themselves into a hole quickly from a turnover perspective. They're going to need those guys at Forrest and Connor Warner, Alec Kelly, Andrew Scanlon. They're going to need those guys to really take care of the ball and keep the pressure off a young defense that has a great backstop, but you don't want to put it all on that guy. But they, you know, picking up the win against Monticello is a good step in the right direction, a nice bounce back from the Western loss. And they're really not far off from being right in that Western game. They made a really nice push in the second half, but Western was just so efficient, really good on the faceoff. They kind of got it done there, and they took advantage of the turnovers that Almar did make.
Yeah, and take us through Monticello as a team that's had some talent, has had some pieces around it, and just, you know, they've been good. They're not that far removed from when they were sort of in the top of the standings with Almar and Western. Take us through what you've seen from Monticello as they come off of a rebuild last year.
I haven't gotten to see a lot of Monticello yet, but you know they hung in with Almar pretty well, which is a good step. They, you know, have got some pieces. There's not a lot of huge names for them right now, but they've got a lot of guys who can play. Hanley Hauser had a pretty good game against Monticello. Ethan Young scored two goals. And play well. Hauser had three assists, so they've got somebody who can set the table a little bit for them. Cole Vinsel, Kobe Copeland. I mean, there's a lot of guys who can score, kind of make some things happen. They've got some good versatile athletes. But yeah, they still are developing. They're still kind of figuring out things. And, you know, in that, you know, that part of the district, you got Fluvanna County that's sort of in that same situation where they're building the program, and they've just got a little ways to go. I mean, the difference between the sort of haves and you know, the teams that have been around that have had a program that's done really well, that have the feeder stuff kind of happening, and young guys who are ready made, ready to go. The difference between those teams and the guys who really have to develop, you know, guys from the start, that's obviously going to play a huge role in lacrosse.
Yeah, I mean, you see the depth. I mean,
yeah.
That's the issue that really sort of shines there.
So the top end guys for a Monticello are Charlottesville with Sam Neal. You know, that's a guy who's just so good and can do a lot of things, but they're going to look around and they're going to see kids that are, you know, just trying to get into a groove, can only go right, you know, and haven't really developed those other sort of pieces, or only know how to really attack one way, or don't really understand an offense. You're going to have all those guys on those teams. Every team has those guys. It's just that, you know, Monticello or Charlottesville or Fluvanna is having to play those guys a lot more. And they're having to get more production out of those guys in order to compete. And so all three of those teams have, you know, have some work to do, especially when they face off against teams like Almar and Western. And that can't really be the measuring stick for them. They've got to kind of be more about what they are and how they're developing, and all those programs, their head coaches seem to understand that, seem to get that, like, they've got to figure out ways to compete and different ways to measure themselves rather than going against a Western or an Almar. Although Almar has said that they've got some numbers issues as well. There seems to be a big cohort of kids in the eighth grade who are getting ready to come through. But, you know, it's very clear that a lot of the local lacrosse talent has kind of collected itself in a select few programs. And some of these other teams are kind of figuring things out or pressing kids that are younger and having to get more from throughout the years.
And that's not uncommon. We see that in other sports where this is a baseball school with a group of kids that just, they come up together and, you know, they stay in all the same sort of travel leagues or whatever. And it's sort of,
and let's be honest too, like, I mean, spring sports are difficult. You have baseball going, you have lacrosse going, you have soccer going. Like, eventually you're going to, like, run out of athletes.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially for the schools. I mean, there's some schools that only have soccer to worry about. They don't have lacrosse. And then when you're splitting kids, that similar skill sets in some regard, You know, just in terms of it being quick, athletic guys. I mean, that's tough to pull both together. It's why we've seen the private schools, they play soccer in the fall.
Yeah. I think that helps. I mean, I think it just helps kind of clear things up and make things, you know, a little more obvious. But those teams have some work to do. But Albemarle and Western, they'll get another shot at each other, and then they'll both kind of begin their playoff runs. But we'll see how that kind of shapes up. I'm not sure exactly how realignment is going to affect that kind of setup. We'll kind of dig into that when we know a little more about how teams are playing. But Western's playing really good right now. Albemarle, young, a little bit mistake prone, but they get the job done against Monticello. We should see things kind of shape up in a similar way that we've seen in the past.
You mentioned Sam Neill at Charlottesville. That's a team, you know, really hit hard by graduation in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlottesville going forward, where are they building? We know that's a team that, I mean, Eric Sherry loves his football players to play lacrosse. I mean, do we have more of that?
Yeah, I mean, if you got a guy like Sam Neill, you got enough to work with. I mean, like, I think that then you can kind of put some pieces in place around him. They did look a little – I got to see him against Kettle Run. They looked a little low on numbers, just didn't have a lot of options as a substitute. And I think that in the modern game of lacrosse, playing like 10 guys all the time is just really tough. You got to have multiple midi lines. You got to have – multiple options defensively, because I mean, you just got guys who are kind of coming at you in waves, and that can really be kind of difficult. But if Charlottesville is able to kind of work those pieces out, then they could be in pretty good shape.
And then maybe the youngest program in the area,
certainly the youngest. Yeah,
take us through Fluvanna County coming up. I mean, 2015 was a magical year for them. What's 2018?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of how things start to shake out. Fluvanna's got, you know, some young guys who can really play. They've got sort of the ball rolling in the right direction. If they can pick up wins against teams like Monticello, it's going to be tough for them to challenge teams like Albemarle or Western. But if they can get, you know, squeak out a win against a Charlottesville or Monticello or figure out a way to win that, I think that'll help them kind of build the program going forward. They obviously had a really good year a few years ago with Norman G leading the way. But
you look at the last couple signing days for them, where Division III schools and stuff, Vanna's starting to hit up some of those lacrosse guys into that area. And that's got to be good for the program going forward to build sort of some moxie around that.
Yeah, it gives them some help. It certainly gives it, it's going to make more kids want to come out and play. And they're competitive, man. I mean, they do a lot of things the right way. So I think as they continue to kind of figure things out, they're going to be, continue to sort of challenge in that group of teams in that part of the district.
All right. So that takes us through the publics. Let's jump over to the privates. Blue Ridge.
Yeah.
So new coach, what's going out there in St. George?
Yeah, Blue Ridge is a new coach a lot of times. I mean, we've been through some really, really good coaches out there. Kyle Gardner's been great. John was great. They've had, you know, guys who could really kind of get the job done. And now they bring in Michael Herring, and he's got some pieces to work with, man. Shane Ford and Ty Ewan, I just think, are fantastic. Shane Ford is an unbelievable goal scorer. Ewan's really good at setting the table. Both can score, both can attack. We've had the years where Blue Ridge has gone out and had a bunch of Canadians or a bunch of kids that, you know, could, yeah, have shown up and been ready-made and ready to go. Ford and Ewan kind of came in a little bit younger, and they've been able to develop. But Ford is as tough a mark as we've got in the area. Maybe besides, we're going to talk about Stab in a little bit, but, you know, Emmett Barger's another guy who's in that mix. But Ford is just very productive. Ty Ewan's very productive. Keegan Gozak. I mean, they've got pieces. Herring has talked about wanting to play a different style. I'm going to get a chance to see them this week on Saturday. They play Highland. That's usually a pretty big game. And I think that, you know, when it really comes down to it, I think that if he can kind of figure out his style and a way to make it work with, players that are already, like, really, really good. I mean, Shane Ford and Ewan are really good. It seems like Keegan Kozak, he had a pretty good game. It's Covenant early. And Blue Ridge is the 9 seed in Division One, which, you know, Division One lacrosse is a really tough egg to crack. You've got, you know, programs that are nationally respected in a really big way. I mean, when you're competing against Paul the Sixth, that's just loaded with Division I kids, or, you know, St. Stephen, St. Agnes, that we know how tough they've been over the years. You got Stab, you got Collegiate, you got that whole Prep League cohort of teams. It's been difficult in the past for Blue Ridge to even get in that mix, for teams to even, you know, throw them respect. I know that was a problem for John Hetzel's squads, you know, when he was coaching them. And once they made the move to D1, they got in, I guess, for a couple of years there, that year where they beat Stab in a really big way, but then they've kind of been knocked out or not really even gotten a chance to play in the field. So it's going to be interesting to see if Blue Ridge gets a shot this year and gets a chance to play. And I think that, you know, you want to see them get that chance, especially guys like Shane Ford and Ty Ewan, they've really put in the time that have, you know, helped spark them to VIC championships. It's just going to be good to see.
And also, I mean, you look at the issue of there used to be three divisions in this.
Not anymore. Yeah. It's Division One and Two
a lot of the guys that play Division Two have been bumped up to Division One.
Yeah.
So I mean, that really complicates matters too.
Yeah, I think that Blue Ridge wanted to be D1. They moved up to D1. I think when they first made the big push into
they've been there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, they've been there and they competed. They've competed. They played. They beat Stab, I think, to make the state. That was the state Final Four. I think that got them into the championship game. Played St. Stephen's. That was a number of years ago. But now, I mean, Herring does seem to have an understanding of what kind of style they need to play, and it could really make a big difference.
Yeah, and just to give you an idea, I mean, in 2009, you had Stab playing in the Division I championship game, Covenant playing in the Division II championship game, and Blue Ridge in the Division III. So, I mean, things have changed a lot since then for Blue Ridge, Stab, Covenant, really all of them. I mean, take us over to staying in the VIC, Covenant.
Yeah. Yeah, big rebuild going on at Covenant. I do like Luke Sorensen's a heck of a player. Seth Leavell, he's had a really pretty good performance against Fork Union. They hung with, that was just a shootout. I think it was a 17-14 final. Covenant's got some guys who can score, but they're low numbers. They've got a handful of subs that can really kind of make things happen. But they're obviously rebuilding. I mean, the run that they had.
Gaffney brothers.
Yeah, I mean, like between from Mike Gardner on through Clay Therrington, like they had a really good run there for a while. A couple of titles. Appearance in the final. I mean, they did really well. That was a strong run, an incredible group of athletes that they had, ranging from the Gaffney brothers to Austin Lara. A ton of guys who could really contribute. The Kohlbergs, they had Kohlbergs. They have Kohlbergs going way back.
Yeah, every 3 years you're getting Kohlberg. Yep.
I mean, there's a ton of kids that could really play, and Covenant obviously is just going through a little bit of a rebuild. But Chris Gilbert, the head coach now, and Sorensen, I think, can really play. He's been pretty good. And they've just got to kind of build in and fill in. They got a lot of young guys that are demanding a lot of minutes from. But Jude Stelgis, is another name that's been around, whether it was Alexis Stelgis helping out in softball or whether it was Jameson Stelgis in football. They've had, that family's had a big impact on things over there, and he's in goal now. So they got a lot of work to do, but certainly, hopefully they can kind of get into a groove and maybe force their way into that Division II mix. Certainly time to do it.
Moving over to a team that we've probably seen the most of this spring because they've seemed to be playing a high-profile game every week, St. Anne's. I mean, they have been, for the longest time, sort of the standard for lacrosse and both between the publics and privates. What do we see from St. Anne's right now?
I mean, they started fast. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. The two wins over Avon Old Farms and Penn Charter in a span of 2 days was just incredible. This schedule is always absurd when you look at it. They are not messing around. Similar to Miller Baseball, just goes out and gets
they schedule some squads. They're seeing some real deal stuff. And Stab wants to play the best. They want a chance at everybody they can get a shot at. They played Boys Latin from Baltimore in the past. They'll play most anybody. And some of the teams they're playing have a few post-grad guys. They don't care. They're going to take them on. And, you know, this year is a similar setup to what they've had in the past, where they have a really dynamic offense that when the ball gets in those guys' hands, they are tough.
Yeah, that is a patient offense, and they can be deadly quick. I mean, those guys...
They were so loaded last year. I mean, just so loaded up with guys. But with Schellenberger's departure to up north, it kind of put a lot of focus on Emmett Barger. And Barger's proven to be up to the challenge so far. Obviously, that fast start has kind of waned a little bit with the losses to St. Stephen, St. Agnes, and Paul VI.
And those are only a couple days apart. I mean, they got those two games just bang like that.
I mean, it's a little, and like those are teams that are matchup problems for them. They create some issues for them. They've knew going into the season that face-off was going to be a little bit of an issue. That's the goalie Jeffrey Perkins has talked about that they knew that they were going to be looking for somebody there, looking for some action on the wings. But I've seen in some situations they've gone, where they're able to push somebody up to the wing because of a penalty. They've used Emmett Barger in that spot, and I've seen him win them. So maybe they're going to start to figure out solutions for that. They got an incredible LSM defensive type in Michael Giacomo. The guy can play. He is as close. I've said that I felt like that for years. Rob Schotta sort of set at least in this sort of modern era, set the standard for what an LSM needs to be at St. Anne's and throughout the area. He's as fast, as quick, and as dynamic and versatile as I saw at the LSM spot. And Giacomo has stepped in and really kind of embraced that role in a lot of different ways. But he's such a versatile kid. He can play with a shorty. He can play with a long pole. He is just a team-first guy. He's played... I don't know, at this point, he's played like seven or eight different roles for him over his career. Just a tremendous, tremendous player who has put Stab lacrosse first over the years, and he continues to contribute in a really big way. Perkins in the cage, man, he went from like nobody really knowing who he was at the start of last year to being an all-prep goalie, and he is a heck of a player. Just really, really good shot, save guy, but also does a great job of controlling defense. He's good at running clears. I mean, he has worked his way into becoming a really, really good keeper on a team that has had a string of amazing keepers.
Yeah, they have an assistant coaching staff that's just sort of notorious for developing goalies.
I mean,
it doesn't hurt to have those guys.
It stretches on back. I mean, but we've talked about it before. I mean, you go all the way back to Geisler and the before that. I mean, there's guys who have been really good and on up through. And Buell, when they won the state title a few years ago with Philip Robertson. They've had
Blake,
keepers.
Yep.
They know how to develop keepers. And Perkins is no exception. He's a heck of a player. And we haven't even gotten the return of Javon Johnson. That really is, to me, has been a spark for that offense. Obviously with Schellenberger, leaving, they knew they were going to have to find more dynamic players. And when you take a guy who knows the system, who understands his role, and really can kind of just create all kinds of matchup issues, Johnson really, is just – he's a game changer. And his return has been awesome for him. Trent Morin has really developed into a great player. I think he's a really nice two-way guy. He can do a lot of different things. And then Michael McGraw has been really, he's kind of developing and coming on. Sav Moore is another guy who can play. And Gunny Horridge has scored a pretty good chunk of goals right here at the beginning of the season. But I mean, really this comes down to they've got to figure out a way to get the ball into that offense's hands. They take care of the ball so well. Johnson is tremendous at riding and redefending. He's a heck of a player. Barger, the same way, he's just a really aggressive, physical kid. I don't know, man. I think if they can find a way to win faceoffs and get the ball into this offense's hands, they're going to have a shot because it's going to be tough to score on them on the other end with Perkins. But they've got to give that offense some opportunities. And the thing is, just their schedule never lets up. It's just a real challenge all the time because they're going to dive into the prep league stuff here now. And that's St. Chris coming up later this week. That's, you know, collegiate. That's, I mean, it's still, it's just a murderer's row of a schedule. And they've got their work cut out for them.
So one of the teams with a ton of notoriety into a program that seems to be making some waves. We talked about them a little bit earlier. Take us through Fork Union.
Man, they've built this program intentionally. They've been very smart about what they've done. They've either stepped up their scheduling each year. They've made sure that they're playing teams that they're competitive with. They haven't kind of gone over the top with anything. You know, they not a program that's been made ready-made for prep league play because the prep league in lacrosse is just a really, really difficult gauntlet. And they have figured out ways. They play teams like Fluvanna. They play teams as they kind of built and developed. But now they're really starting to take a step forward. The win over Covenant was huge, I think, despite the fact that Covenant's rebuilding a little bit. That's a big win for them. Zach Miller, you know, we talked about him earlier, smooth operator of the week, and headed to Limestone. And, you know, if you've got a player like that, a guy who can go out and get you goals, and then you add a keeper in John Hughes that had 10 saves against Covenant, you talk about John Frazier that had 3 goals and 2 assists, David Greenspan that had 2 goals and 3 assists. They got a lot of different options. They're starting to figure it out. They're running a really solid program. It's clear the drastic difference in their pregame. It just shows how much more of a professional, advanced take that they're making on lacrosse down there at Fork Union is just unmistakable. You can see it in every little piece that they're doing, in every little thing that they're doing. It's clear that they're making strides to sort of make this a really good program, and they're putting a lot of effort into it and doing some really good things.
And then switching over to a rival of St. Anne's, Woodbury Forest in the prep league. A team that's, you know, had a lot of turnover at the head coaching position 2 years ago. Spotty Robbins coming in. What do the Tigers have?
I mean, I think that really you got to like what they've done because they bounced back from a really tough loss to a Norfolk Academy team that maybe people underestimated a little bit. They now have moved into the 2 slot. And, you know, obviously a team that beat St. Anne's last year in the state Final Four. They lost 14-3 to them and then were able to kind of get back on track. They lost 14-7 to Episcopal, but then the latest game for them, the collegiate, they lost 10-9 to a collegiate team that's, you know, right there in that mix in Division One. They're ranked number 4 right now. So their losses are to really, really good teams, collegiate, Episcopal, Norfolk Academy. They're 3 losses lately. Right now, it's really going to be about trying to figure out how to pick up wins. And they got Freeman, they got Benedictine, VES, and they could reel off 3 straight there. And then they play St. Stephen's, St. Agnes again. They got to hope that they've made some strides, hope that they can get a chance. They jump right back into a really tough schedule. There's no hiding in Division One lacrosse when it comes to, you know, the private school level. In Division One, you're going to have a challenge, and you're going to play really, really good teams. And Max Bosmiski is one to start. And then you got, he obviously is a goal scorer who can really do some different things for him. Campbell Alvino has been, you know, playing pretty well for him. He's been scoring some goals. Ian Weinberg's been scoring some goals. They got Coleman Bishop, who can make some noise too. Parker Stone's on this team. I mean, they're going to be kind of figuring things out. They're always working against like a weird spring break as a boarding school. That always makes things a little bit of a different challenge. But, you know, if the improvement that they've shown in a 7-day stretch from a 14-3 loss at home to Norfolk Academy to a road loss, a 10-9 loss to collegiate, if that's indicative of the real improvement that they're making, you know, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we could be looking at a totally different Woodbury Forest team.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to turn things around, really.
No, yeah, and I think that they'll get a chance to get into a groove. They're back on campus. They've really kind of got, you know, had a chance to really kind of, you know, figure things out. And, you know, frankly, they've got some wins that, you know, are pretty good wins, some close ones. They obviously can play defense, you know, despite the, you know, Norfolk Academy and Episcopal scored 14 each on them. They've really been able to hold some teams in check. And they play a difficult schedule, too. We talked about St. Anne's playing a tough schedule. They had Avon Old Farms on their schedule, too. That didn't go as well for them. But, you know, and they lost to Blue Ridge 9-3. But, you know, clearly Woodbury is making some strides. They're improving. And if that 10-9 collegiate loss holds up as more indicative of who they are right now, we could be looking at a really strong stretch run. The other team that you got to kind of think about is Miller Lacrosse. We talked about how young Fluvanna is. Miller's jump to varsity, I think, is actually more recent than Fluvanna's. And they're just kind of working on putting together a program. Same as Fork Union was a few years ago, early in that development. But they got a lot of the right guys and a lot of right pieces. They made a lot of strides last year. Now it really comes down to, you know, what they can do to kind of build off of that and kind of make some things happen. Obviously, you know, they're drawing from a smaller pool.
I was going to say, maybe the smallest school in our area that with a lacrosse program. Getting that off the ground is tough.
Yeah, I think they've had a heavy lift on that one, no question about it. But they played some teams that they know that they can, you know, win. They got some guys. Dave Riddick's been involved with the program. You know, if Dave Riddick's involved with it, they've got some good lacrosse knowledge happening. And they've been able to do some good things. Clay Warner was involved in the program too. They really built it, you know, and they've been working towards it and keep trying to make strides every year. So it's going to be interesting to see what Miller is able to put together as we kind of start moving down. I mean, Miller did pick up a win really recently. They won 7-1 over Fredericksburg Academy. You know, they're going to have the ability to pick up some wins with the way that they've set up the schedule. And obviously, you know, like we talked about earlier, I mean, some of these lacrosse teams are just, you know, they're competing with a stable and a long history, and Miller's going to have to figure out a way to kind of build that history for itself, build that momentum for that program. And a win over a Fredericksburg Academy, 7-1, a dominant defensive performance is a good way to get it going. So, really appreciate you listening. If you love lacrosse, we gave you a lot to work with today, and really in depth. And like Ryan said, I get to a lot of these games, and so if you set me loose, we're gonna run over. And obviously, if you've stuck with us this long, you know we've run over. So, really appreciate you listening along. We're gonna dive into girls lacrosse coming up in a couple of weeks, and certainly a lot to talk about on that side of things as well. But we really appreciate you listening and coming along with us.